Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Ladies of Liverpool once again with me, Leanne Campbell. Thanks so much for tuning in. I think this week we're going to rock you to your core. Not an easy subject to talk about, and we have touched on it before. We spoke to lovely Laura Hughes in the past. She'd lost her brother to knife crime, if you remember. She was doing amazing things to try and sort our city out. After a weekend where, once again, we're making the headlines, young boys around 12 carrying knives, not afraid to use them, we do need to attack this once again. So with us, we've got Layla. Now, Layla is huge at the moment. She's unearthed something. She's digging and she's digging and she's trying to get to the cause of knife crime, not only in our city, but right across our country. And she came up with something that's going to make you feel physically sick. It did me. It's awful, but we can no longer bury our heads. We need to know exactly what's going on in our streets. We need to know what our children are dealing with when they step out the front door without us. So please, sit back, listen up. Get involved, of course, leaving your comments on social media, tagging us in. We want to know your thoughts on this, but for now, hear from our Lady of Liverpool, Layla Wright, on what's going on our streets.
Young kids are getting money put on their heads and all that.
See, this is why I need to talk to young people like you, because I didn't know that. I didn't know there's young people putting bounties on people's heads.
No, there's all the people. That's going down to watch straighteners and people getting stabbed and going, there's fives on each. Boom, go and do it. And they'll go and do it.
So if you go for a straightener and you've got people, older members of the community,
kids will go, yeah, but there's 5 ton in my pocket.
Just to stab you?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that, to be honest with you. And that shocks me, shocks the life out of me, that one. So it's just a bit of entertainment for some people.
Yeah.
So what happens if you said no to them?
Then
you'd
obviously have someone on you. Pick someone else.
Layla, Christmas, I remember putting on my Instagram, watch out for this girl. She's going to be on your radar. I didn't think it was going to be so quick. I didn't think for 1 minute it was going to be by this point. But literally months later, you're all over every news channel. An investigation that you were behind made from pages of most papers. You're all over the place last week or the week before talking about knife crime. So tell us all, Layla, how did you start your investigations?
It's weird, you know. Like you say, I only graduated last year. I've been freelance between, you know, Radio City and a couple other places. That's how obviously we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I've been doing this investigation for a few months now about knife crime. I just wanted to find out the reasons why people carry knives.
Have you been affected yourself personally, or do you know people who have?
No, you know, I'm a young girl. I go out a lot. And I've seen, you know, I've been going out for a few years now, probably before I should have been going out.
We all did.
But,
yeah.
But I've even seen myself in them a short few years, how much it's changed, really.
Mm.
I think for me, that's what got me interested, you know. You feel it a bit more now, you feel a bit more on edge when you go out.
You do, because I don't know whether this is the case or the way it's just how it feels. It seems to become the norm, in a sense, where we're not as shocked anymore. Although at the weekend, of course, something happened in Anfield. Two young lads attacked by 12 to 15-year-old boys who walk around with knives and haven't hesitated to use them. So it's in our face all the time. So for you to then get involved and try and find answers and reasons why, how did you start? Where did you go? What did you do?
Like you said then, it is normal now. Like, I've just come in now to speak to you, and Becky just passed Becky Davis in the newsroom. She's off to see the police. A normal Monday occurrence now for us. You know, we get in the newsroom, we have a little coffee, have a little meeting, and then we go and speak to the police about the latest attack. And mm-hmm. It shouldn't be like that. Like, it is normal now. We say, you know, we put a call into the police, let's go and interview them. And then we get down there, you know, I'm a reporter, and we sit there with them. They say the same things. They talk about the attack that's just happened.
Yeah.
Then they'll say to you, you know, we're up in patrols in the area to make sure everyone's fine and reassured. And you just, sometimes I walk out there and I think, what's going to give here? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We can't keep doing this. We can't keep, you know, have a nice little weekend, see you later, everyone have a nice week, and then on the Monday come in and report about these stabbings. And it's getting to a point now where I personally think, come on, let's understand why these kids are prepared to use a knife and to carry one in the pocket.
Well, nothing changes until something changes, as they say. So who knows what the answer is from your investigation? Have you come up with some kind of idea in your head what you think could happen that might make a change? Because it's all guesswork.
So what I done, so Radio 4 asked me to make a podcast just like this for the Beyond Today podcast, just to find out really like what reasons why people might carry knives in Liverpool. So that's basically what I done. And I liked that. I just thought, you know what, I'll take a backseat to it. I won't go in with any kind of preconceived kind of ideas about why people might do it. I'll meet with some young people and I'll speak to them just about why they're prepared really to go out there and use a knife. And yeah, we just had a nice discussion. It took a while to get them to sit down and speak to me. There's a lot of mistrust there with the media and with, you know, journalists. Understandably, it's a scary kind of situation.
Yeah.
A lot of them might think that you're going to give the information to the police. But
They might be thinking that you're then going to pass it on and they're going to face the consequences. As we say, it's very common. And can you tell us what areas you were going into and what age group the people were that you were speaking to?
Yeah, so obviously we've got to be dead careful how we protect the kids and their identities. But I kind of want to speak to some people. So I teamed up with Alan Walsh. Alan's brilliant. I know that Laura on the podcast mentioned the work of Alan. So he's got a local boxing gym in Anfield and he does loads of brilliant work around knife crime. He goes out and speaks to the kids on the streets about, like, you know, why they carry knives and tries to, like, turn their lives around. So I met up with him and tried to get some kids together. We had a nightmare. They absolutely were not prepared to sit down. They didn't want to speak to us, which, you know, we didn't really expect that we'd get that kind of resistance.
Well, you sat there with a microphone in hand and looking all professional. So again, alarm bells are going to ring, aren't they? It's not sitting around all, you know, having a packet of crisp and deciding, you know, to just chinwag. It will have looked a little bit intimidating for them.
Exactly. And the thing I realised, like, you know, I've done quite a bit of, you know, I'm kind of new in this game, but I had done a documentary last year about the grassing culture and I do quite a bit of work with kids in these kind of gangs and these kind of lifestyles. So I thought, oh, I've got this, they'd be fine with me, they'd be fine with me. And I was sitting there and I just thought, oh, they're not turning up. And I sat there in that centre and they weren't coming. And I said to Alan, and obviously Alan, these are like the kids that Alan's got really good relationships with.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, do you want to do it? Do you want to just hold the mic and you do it? And he said, you know, there's a bigger issue here. We need to try and find out why they're not prepared. So it took us a few months, but we finally got some kids and we built up that trust. And I said, listen, we just genuinely want to find out why, you know, you and your mates, you're prepared to carry a knife. We know we're not judging yours, anything like that. We want to find out the reasons. And we did. We sat down and we done it more relaxed and we had sweets that were swiftly flung off our heads and stuff. But it was a good thing. And the kids that we spoke to were the early teens.
Okay.
They were 13, 14. So we're talking young kids here.
So young, aren't they?
So young.
And so you got them to tell you exactly why they leave the house. And this is the question. Whenever you see anything, whether it's on Twitter or, you know, where some people, where there's a forum where people can say the thoughts, everyone, the same things I keep seeing everyone write is, why are we not understanding why they, as a group of young people, are not walking out the house, you know, with the best aftershave they can get their hands on? They're walking out the house with a blade in the hand. And not just as a something to wave around to go, look what I've got, to scare people off. They're going to use it. There's no doubt about it. They're leaving the house and they're picking up the door keys along with the knife. And we're seeing the consequences.
And exactly. And that, you know, that for us is so foreign. The idea to do that is foreign. But, you know, for them, that is so normal. That is their everyday thing. You know, they check what they've got. You know, they've got the keys and they've got the knife.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for me, I really wanted to understand that. I thought, you know, these kids, they probably don't want to be in this lifestyle. You know, they might not do. Let's try and find out why they're doing that, because they're obviously putting themselves in dangers. We know the figures that if you carry a knife, you're more likely to get that knife used on you than anyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a dangerous little world. So we did. We sat down with them and, you know, we sat down for a few hours with them, with the kids. I mean, they were very kind of keen to say that they weren't involved, but we know the stats and we spoke to them afterwards and these kids know what happens on the streets.
Yeah.
The particular kids that we spoke to had a friend that had just been attacked with a knife, and that's kind of where this big news story came from, really, speaking specifically about that.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So talk to me more about that then. So what was this one lad telling you that sort of opened your eyes up? So what you say, and I think you put it brilliantly, a situation where these kids, they don't wake up in the morning and go, I want to be walking around with a blade. So what did you find out? Why are they doing it?
When we were chatting to the kids, they were saying, you know, we found out loads of things, the type of knives they use, you know, what they kind of get up to. And I think for us, it was really an interesting insight into their lives, into their little worlds. But there was a moment when, and this is, you know, of course, the big story this week, is when they said to us, quite casually, to be fair, people are getting money put on their heads. And it was a moment when Alan and I were in the room with the kids. We took a bit of a second and Alan said, what do you mean by that? Because it was quite like they'd gone off a little bit. We had our little set questions at the end, you know, we were kind of sticking to, and we were nearing the end of the session. And they said, kids are getting money put on their heads. And we spoke a bit more about it. And like we said, we were thinking, oh, where is this going here? and they basically told us that there are elder, senior gang members that are paying young people here in Merseyside to hundreds of pounds to go out and stab each other.
So a life is literally costing a couple of hundred quid. Yeah. It makes me feel physically sick. And that there's no backing out of it. You're not talking about a reason they haven't done anything to this person in particular. There's no way they could talk their way out of any of these situations. There's one young person in a vulnerable situation who needs cash and they're going to do anything to get it.
And that's it. And, you know, when they spoke to it, we were like, oh. And sometimes I've interviewed like loads of people over the years and you got to sometimes take things with a pinch of salt. And we spoke to them a bit more and they were so genuinely like telling us about it. And of course, we wrote everything down, we went away. And I've been sitting on this story for months because part of me didn't want it to be true.
Yeah. And you're very passionate about your city, as I am. And we're funny on nights out and stuff. We'll be the two. It's almost like we walk around with a portable microphone. We want to shout about our city and everything that's great about it. We are in love with Liverpool. And it's moments like this where you do have to recognise it's not a Liverpool thing.
No.
This is the country.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's suffering. We always like to think of ourselves as being different, don't we? It won't happen in our city. And that's why when you read these headlines, you think, how are we allowing this to be part of this city that's so loving and so friendly and always the city to go above and beyond to for the good, for the sake of good. And then shit like this is happening and to our kids.
I know, and it is, like you said then, I absolutely adore this city. Like, I'm looking now at it in front of us,
window.
And it's amazing. But the thing is, like, for me, I could have walked out of that interview and thought, oh, that'll look terrible, that, you know,
yeah.
That's, you know, we'll edit that bit out. But never, ever, you know, them kids told us that this is happening. They told me that elder members in their street, in their communities, are getting money and offering them to go out and stab someone. So for me, I'm like, all right, then let's sort it out. Let's get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've highlighted this, well done. You've highlighted this, you told us it. Now let's get some pressure on people to make things happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point, you know, sitting on this and thinking, oh, you know, that'll go away. Let's not mention that. We can't do that. And this, like you said then, this isn't just a Liverpool thing. This is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
But what we've done is we've spoken to the kids who are prepared to carry a knife and in them lifestyles, and we're getting their realities and we're just scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
The one thing that shocked me most this week is, you know, I've spoken to the people who put us in touch with these kids to make sure they're okay, and they are. And the thing that shocked me most is these kids are surprised that this is making the news. This is their reality.
Yeah.
You know, they've got loads of stories that are probably headline news, and that's scary, that this is just a small thing in their chaotic little lives that we could be speaking about every single week.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
One thing we notice, you know, out and about on the streets now, one step that's being made is this stop and search business. Do you feel like this is working from your investigations? Did these young people tell you they fear the stop and searches? Do they have a way around it? Is it having any impact on the situation from where you're looking?
When we spoke to the kids, you know, we spoke about the police quite a bit. And they're not massive fans of the police.
Of course.
And in investigations I've done in the past, you know, about the whole Grassen kind of culture.
Yeah.
You know, I've done an investigation, a documentary, Gangs, Guns and Grassen. It was all about how this wall of silence means that, you know, when I made the documentary in the past 2 years, not one person had been charged for a murder that had been caused by guns in this instance. And that, for me, was showing a bigger picture that people were not prepared to speak to the police. And there is, you know, we can't back away from it. Merseyside police do a lot of brilliant things.
Yeah.
But there is a massive, massive divide between the young people especially and the police, especially the young people that I've spoken to.
And where is this coming from? Is this something that they're being taught from a young age, or is this something that they're getting from experience? Is it a case of we're one team, you're the other? Is it something else? Is there another understanding?
It's a hard one, you know, and this is a global thing. This is not just Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, the police versus the people is a big thing. And I think, you know, it's a multi-generational then relationships. And if you are involved in that lifestyle, you know, you're more likely to have family members that have been, you know, maybe involved in the same kind of lifestyles, and you might not have good experiences with the police. And I think that stop and search, you know, it's a great thing when they're stopping people and they're, you know, finding knives on them and they're taking them off the street. I mean, that is obviously a good thing.
A good thing.
But then
But how quickly did they get hold of these knives? Where did they getting the knives from?
Yeah, and also you got to address the fact that, you know, you're stopping and searching these kids on the street. That's just going to build that anger from the police. You know, you got to think about how we tackle this. And I don't have the answers here. No. I absolutely wish I did. But when the kids, if the police are on the backs all the time and they're stopping them and all this, and these kids we spoke to had both been stopped and searched.
And they seem to fear, from what I'm gathering, the gang members more than the police.
Yeah, they're not scared of the police.
Because the police aren't going to necessarily kill them. The gang members are. So if they're going to go one way or the other, it's easy when you look at it. You can't imagine being in that situation. And you hope to God you can keep your kids safe and away from it. But when they're fearing something other than the police, more so than the police, how do we even begin?
And beyond today, the podcast that I made this investigation for, they've done loads of stuff on knife crime, and I thought it was a brilliant quote of someone who himself had used a knife in the past. And he said, you know, what am I going to be more scared of? Getting caught, you know, with a knife by the police and, you know, getting a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Or am I, you know, going to get caught off a gang member, a rival, and they're going to have a knife? Like, you know, my life's in danger if I don't have one. And he put it really well. And, like, sometimes you've got to put yourselves in their shoes and understand that, you know, what are they more likely to risk? Like getting for in the cells for a few hours.
It seems like the only way, sitting back, and it's easy to judge and come up with solutions when you're sitting back, the only way to start making a difference with this is by starting with the tiny people. I mean, primary school kids. It's by teaching them when that option comes to join these gangs or to get caught up in these situations to run for the hills.
Absolutely.
But when you... in situations where you speak to these young ones and they haven't got an awful lot to go home to.
And that's the thing.
And we don't understand that. But if you're going home to an empty house or a mum or dad who's drinking or there's substance abuse going on in the house and the last thing they want to do is go home to the house, their other option is to go and be part of something that makes them feel safe, at least initially, until...
Absolutely.
And they're walking around with a knife.
You've just nailed it then, and that is what we've got to do. And it is hard. I know it's hard to kind of understand where these kids are coming from, but we have to. If we want to tackle this, we have to understand these kids and have a bit of empathy for them in a way, you know, to a certain extent. Like you said then, a lot of these kids, they've got chaotic lives at home. And if there's elders in the street literally offering them protection, saying it, all the elders in the street, they're dressed in nice gear, they've got a nice coat on, we know the pressure, like, you know, Me mum always talks about this. She works in a shop and she sees all the parents coming in and there's such pressure for them to have the best coat, to have all these designer ones, to have the best trainers. And it's like, these kids, it's simply out of reach, completely out of their reach. So they're thinking, you know what are my options here? I can go out with them, get a bit of respect off them, get a new coat, new trainers, maybe one day I'll have a nice car like they're driving around in. They respect, they're their role models. And I think we need to say to these kids, you know, a lot of them as well, I spoke to a teacher who deals with these kind of, you know, kids who use knives, and she said a lot of them come from third generations of unemployment. So there's no way that they can kind of get out of it. And I think we need to start thinking about the opportunities that we're giving to these kids. You know, there's a lot of places, you know, across the city that are doing really amazing things, and they're giving these kids kind of get out with sport and them kind of opportunities. And it's about promoting them, saying, listen, this is not the only option. You can make good money, you know, in other places, you know, and you can go to bed and sleep all right tonight as well.
Ladies of Liverpool. So what we're seeing in the media, Leila, do you think it's an accurate portrayal of what's going on, or do you think more people like yourself need to dig a little deeper?
We need to speak to the kids more. You know, when we were speaking to them kids the other day, there's a big debate being happening at the minute, and I've got a politics degree that I had last year that I absolutely have not used one bit this year, because you know, there's a big massive debate about how police cuts, if they've affected knife crime, if they, you know, if we've seen a rise in it because of police cuts. We had kids in front of us who have used and have carried a knife and being very involved in that lifestyle, saying to us, if there were more police on the street, you know, we'd have to behave ourselves. And I think that's your answer there. It doesn't matter if, you know, my politics degree, see you later. I do not need that. And we don't need to speak to any politicians anymore. You know, we've got our answer there. Kids who are prepared to use a knife are telling us that the lack of, you know, busies, as they call them, on the streets is leading to knife crime. Like, there's your answer. And I think we need to speak to them more. And also what they said to us is, you know, there's nothing to do around here. And they were right. You know, I was looking. And by the way, this investigation that we've done, and when we heard about the bounties, I went away, and for over 3 months, we spoke to all different parts of the region. This is not just this one kind of incident.
It's not one area. This is the culture of the whole country now.
Yeah, I spoke to kids who confirm this in North Liverpool, South Liverpool, right across it. This is not just one thing. And they're saying to us as well, you know, there's nothing to do around here. And, you know, government cuts have led to closing down of youth clubs.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's boring to get involved in politics. It's not the best kind of conversation, pre-drink conversation. No one really wants it, especially at the minute.
At the minute, it's like a dark cloud over everyone, isn't it?
It's boring. I'm bored of it myself. And like I say, I've got a little shiny politics degree there, but you need to speak about it. And like your mum said, like I was listening to a podcast, I loved it with your mum. And, you know, your mum has seen the cuts in
the children's centres.
And you need to have people on the front line, just like your mum, saying, we're seeing the cuts here, you know, it's making a big impact. Because if we do be polite and we ignore it all, and if we do, it's a bit boring sometimes to speak about politics, but it's so important
it
because
really
kids
is.
Will keep on dying. If
and it's like
continues.
We say, these young kids, so going through children's centres where professionals can see the vulnerable families, and you see that cycle starting, or you see if dad is maybe involved in the wrong things, which again is inevitably going to just move on, next generation. We do need to step in at some point, but nobody seems willing
exactly
to do it, or able, because fundings have been cut, places are getting closed, like you say, youth clubs, other avenues where they can go and busy themselves, where professionals can see what's going on. Most of these kids, they must feel like nobody cares. They're just left.
Exactly. And I think, like, you need to look at their options. And I think I personally think that if there were more youth clubs in this city across Merseyside, we would see a dramatic difference. I personally believe, you know, these kids, we're in the summer now, it's so light, it goes dark at 9:30.
Yeah.
And, you know, them kids are finishing school if they're in school. And, you know, at 3:30, what are they going to do? They're out there on the streets, they're all together, they're getting each other wound up. You've got social media now.
Oh, I know,
If there was a youth centre, like Alan Walsh, who does incredible work with his Real Men Don't Carry Knives campaign, if there were more youth clubs like him with more role models like Alan in them, I seen the respect Alan got off them in, you know, a couple of hours.
Yeah.
They were looking up to him, they were listening to what he was saying. And he said that if he worked in these youth centres, he would see a little bit of beef, like they call it, you know, a bit of beef brewing.
Mm.
He'd get them inside, he'd get them to sit down and speak about it. And he said, that's how it works.
Yeah.
They'd like, identify all the issues, and before it goes out on the streets, and, you know, ends up in the headlines, like what we're coming into every day, it stops there.
Listening to what he's doing, when you sit back and you hear, it gives you a little bit of hope that you think, if he's willing to do it, are there other people across the city that are in a position to be able to do something like this before it's spiraling out of control? It's terrifying. I've got two little kids, and it seems like there's no hope with this. And then listening to you, there is. It's just how we go about either getting funding or getting the politicians to acknowledge they're making big mistakes. They're cutting the police, they're cutting the children's centres, they're getting rid of the youth clubs, the libraries are closing down. All these places that we as young people could have as an option, even if you didn't go that much, it was an option. These kids don't seem to have as many options as we did.
It's like that, and we need to keep pushing, you know, as a city together. There's some amazing work, you know, people like you even speaking up about it. The boxers, as I've spoken to, you know, the Smith boxers, the Smith brothers, they're brilliant, and even them being brilliant, positive role models, saying that's not the option, you know, put it down, get into sport, something like that. It's so important for us all to be together and to, you know, to keep pushing this. People like Alan is brilliant. Like you said, in the primary schools, we need to start early.
Yeah.
We need to start, and there is amazing people. James Riley is a former probation officer who I've worked with on this story, and he goes into primary school kids. And, you know, since his story came out last week, he's had kids in his school coming up to him, and this is primary school age, saying, yeah, you know, we know about it. We've been offered money. And it's terrible, and we need to keep speaking about it, because we can think about this in a positive way now.
Yeah.
The kids have told us something, and let's keep pushing. Let's keep speaking to our kids. Let's make sure they're aware of it. Because
knowledge is power.
I think a lot of them as well, exactly. A lot of them, you know, they when they're speaking to us, Alan said to the kids, you do realise that the elders, they're exploiting you. You know, this is not like...
Yeah.
And I think, you know, these kids maybe that we spoke to understood that, but a lot of them don't. They're thinking, oh, I'll get respect off them. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to maybe get up the ranks a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's so important to make sure our kids know that these aren't your mates. These are getting used to their dirty work to make sure that they stay out of trouble. It's so important that they know that.
Exactly. And I think what we need to take from this, if nothing else, is that sitting back and pretending it's not happening or burying your head, whether you're a mum of a teenage boy and your gut's telling you that he's up to no good, but you don't want to believe it, or whether you're a teacher and you don't really want to broach the subject with someone you know could be leaning towards that life, because sometimes it can be more trouble than you think it's worth, unless we all start doing something. And tiny little things, if each of us are doing, and we're chipping away, we're raising awareness of it, we're showing people we haven't got our hands over our eyes, we're seeing it for what it is, and you bringing stuff like this to the table, which everyone's like, oh, when you think about it, it makes so much sense. How did we not know this before? You know, we can make a difference, but one or two people can't do it.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to step up.
Absolutely, exactly. And I think that for me, you know, like you said then, you know, the kids are told us here that bounties are getting put on people's heads. And, you know, I brought that to light, but we're just scratching the surface. There is so much happening in our city, in other cities across this country that we need to find out about. We need to, you know, bring to light and to push, you know, push our police, push not just the police, they're doing great things, push the police, push the politicians, and just say, listen, we're not having a go here, but no, our kids are going to keep dying if you don't do something about it.
And it's as simple as that.
It is. It really is. And we're not messing around anymore. I've been, you know, working here as a journalist for, you know, a good few years now. I've had a great time, but I've spoken now to too many mums and, you know, dads who have lost kids through knife crime. And I'm not prepared to speak to any more without doing something about it myself.
Yeah.
I need to speak to people. And, you know, like Alan does, he takes kids who have used a knife to mortuaries to show them the reality. And I think we need to be that hard hitting now.
Yeah.
It's got to a point where what happens now, we're going to continue till it spirals more. No, we need to put a stop to this now as best we can.
You are doing amazing things, Layla. Keep doing what you're doing, babe. We need more Laylas in the world. Thanks so much for speaking to us. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.